It's been a few weeks, but sometime back we began a series of lessons on one of the most asked questions of all time. Does anybody remember that? Back several weeks ago, we've had special services and revival and all of that, and we only finished one lesson, but we're going to continue that again here tonight as we look at, does anybody remember, why am I here? Why am I here? What is my purpose? Is there a reason to it all? And in our first lesson, we looked at the subject, winning at life. Winning at life. How many of you like to win? Come on, is there some competitive people here? You like to win? And we can all win at life, or we can lose. And the stakes of this game of life, it's higher than any other game we've ever played or anything we've ever faced, because it affects where we go in this life and from this life in eternity. And if we're going to win at life, if we're going to win at life, we've got to be very familiar with the rule book. Does anybody know what the rule book is? The Word of God, the Bible, the precious scriptures. Amen. We've got to be familiar in that, with that rule book, in that instruction book and manual of how to win at life. Practically every situation that we will ever face is covered, and every situation is covered in principle in the Word of God. Everything we'll ever face, everything we'll ever go through, anything we'll deal in life, we can find wisdom for it in the Word of God. And one of the main things we've got to remember is this life is not our complete life. Okay? This life is not our complete life. It's just the beginning. We're just getting started. And based on how the rest of this life goes will determine how our eternal life will go. And these decisions we make, the choices we make here on earth, the few years that we have, the commitment or our lack of commitment, the sacrifices, the things we go through, all of that in this life will determine the outcome for the rest of our life. And so you see, winning at life is not determined by how many toys we own, how big of a house we live in. It's not about what amount of money we spend on clothes or how popular we are. And there's a lot of people get off track on those things, think that's really winning. But in reality, those things are just for a very short time, just a few years compared to eternity. But this life, it's just kind of like one position on the board. Just one stop on the way. We were created as eternal souls. And yes, we may have a body, but this body is going to die after 70 or 80, 90, 100 years, whatever. And when we take our last breath, we are far from being done. We're just getting started, because we were never created to die, but we were created for eternity. And so it's very important that we get it right, and very important we know the rule book for life, the Bible, the Word of God. And why are we here? We better not wait to the end of life, of this life, until we ask that question. Don't wait until you've lived most of your life here on this earth and then try to think, well, what's this all about? Why am I here? What's the purpose? And don't wait until that day, but let's think about it right now, when we still have time left to make a difference. And let's get a plan for life based on the Word of God, the instruction manual on how to win at life. Amen. Love, grow, serve, go. That is our mission here at Harvest. That's our purpose statement. It's what we're all about. Love God, grow in faith, serve others, and go change the world. If you don't have a personal mission statement, could I recommend that would be a great one to have? It's what we're meant to do. It's why we are here, what our purpose is. It's to love God and to grow in faith, to serve others, and to go change the world. And so we looked at how our love for God, it's the basis of everything. Everything started in the Garden of Eden with our relationship with God, walking and talking with Him, spending time together. But then came the fall, and all of that got messed up. But I tell you, we have the power today, through the grace and the mercy of God, to develop a relationship with Him so that we can love him and we can be loved by him, and so that we can show others the love of Jesus Christ, and the power of his love can transform them. So that's why we're born again, through the love of Jesus Christ. And we learn to love him and to show others about that love. Now, tonight, we're going to look at another part of this mission statement. Grow in faith. Grow in faith. And so, why am I here? Here's the subtitle for this lesson: Healthy Things Grow. Healthy things grow. I'm just going to read a few scriptures here. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. We need to desire the spiritual food of the word of God so that we can grow. Why are we here? We are here to grow. Healthy things grow. In Luke chapter 8, verse 4, we find what is known as the parable of the sower. Really, it's the parable of the soil. And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down. And the fowls of the air devoured it, and some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away, because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." When Jesus says that, you better pay attention. You better listen up. And it's not so much with this ear, it's more with this ear. If you have spiritual reasoning, if you have spiritual perception, if we desire the things of God, if we are tuned in to his spirit, then we need to take notice of something here. And so the disciples ask him in the next verse, what does this parable mean? Jesus says, reading in Luke 8 and 11, "Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God." So the sower goes out to sow the seed. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. "Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to the perfection. But that on the good ground are they, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, they keep it and bring forth fruit with patience." So everybody say, healthy things grow. We're here to grow. This parable, it is so absolutely amazing, because even 2,000 years ago, it still describes people today so absolutely effectively. You see, there's going to be some, think about this, there's going to be some that they hear the word of God. They come to a service. They're moved upon by the Lord. They hear the preaching of the word of God. They respond. And the seed of the word of God is sown. But somehow it just doesn't find a place to grow. And they're like those on the wayside. The devil comes and he takes the word away out of their heart, and so they can't be saved. I want to tell you that happens all the time. Then there's those who are on rocky ground. And when they hear the word of God, they receive it with joy. They're so happy. They're so excited about this truth and the word of God and the preaching and the service, and they receive it with joy. They're so excited to be a part of the church. They start out with a bang. But it says, then in time of temptation, they fall away. How many times have we seen people come into the church and they're so excited and they're just, this is the best thing they've ever found, but they never develop roots. They never develop roots. And so then tough times come, and tough times will come. to every single one of us. But because they don't have any roots, they don't have anything to hold them, and so they fall away. Then there are those who become choked with the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this life. How sad it is when there's those, maybe they've been in church a long, long time, but there's so many other things, that so many other activities and pleasures of life that it chokes out what God wants to do in them. They've got hobbies and activities and family affairs and sports and other priorities and those things that are not of God. That's the cares of life, and that they make it to church, but only if nothing else is going on. And sadly, Jesus said they bring no fruit to perfection. They bring no fruit to maturity. In other words, they just don't grow. But then there are those who are the good ground. And Jesus said, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, they keep it, and they bring forth fruit with patience. They bear fruit. They produce a big harvest. They grow. They grow. So we have a choice of what kind of ground we're going to be. The fact is, we've been called to grow, we've been called to produce fruit, and we have to make up our minds that I'm going to be the kind of ground that produces fruit. I'm not going to be the wayside. I'm not going to be the rocky ground. I'm not going to be the thorny ground and allow things and cares of this world to choke out what God wants to do. But I'm going to be good ground, and I'm going to produce fruit, and I'm going to grow for the glory of God. Hallelujah. Psalm 92 and 12 tells us, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruits in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. Healthy things grow. I don't know about you, but I want to be like that palm tree. I want to be like that cedar tree, to be planted in the house of the Lord and to flourish in God's presence, to even bring forth fruit in old age, to be fat and flourishing. Another translation says to be healthy and green. Come on, I want to be healthy and green and growing. Come on, why are we here? We are here to grow. We are here to be fruitful. We are here to multiply and to flourish in the kingdom of God. Where do we get the power to grow? We don't have that power ourselves. We don't have that ability in our own strength. No, but Jesus said in John 15 and 5, he says, I am the vine and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. If we're going to grow, we have got to be connected to the vine. And Jesus said, I am the vine. The second that fruit is cut off from the vine, it stops growing. The second it's cut off from the vine, there is no more growth. It doesn't matter what it is. It could be watermelons, or strawberries, or kiwi, cucumbers, tomatoes. When the fruit is cut off from the vine, whatever it is, it stops growing. And if we're going to grow, we've got to be connected to the vine, which is Jesus Christ. Without him, we can do nothing. Come on, we better not get to thinking that we're just going to grow on our own. We're just going to make it all by ourselves, because we don't have the power to lift ourselves up. We need another source. We need another power. We need another one who is truly able to lift us up to a higher place. And as we're connected to the vine, which is Jesus Christ, we can grow, because we receive nourishment and we receive blessings and we receive the spiritual, the food that our spirit needs. Satan will try to convince you that you can make it on your own. You don't need to pray, he'll say. You don't need to read the word. You can skip church. You don't have to come to prayer meeting. You don't need the others in the church. Just make it on your own. Don't believe the lies of the enemy. As soon as we're cut off, we stop growing. As soon as we're cut off from the vine, there's no more growth. How many times have we seen someone slowly disconnect from the things of God? And they might not show all of the effects right away, but immediately they stop growing. And you could still look at the fruit, and it still seems like it's good for a little while. It still seems like it's still healthy. It still looks the same, but it's just not growing. And eventually, since it's cut off from the vine, not only is it not going to grow, but it's actually going to rot from the inside out. Help us, Lord. We've got to stay connected to the vine. Come on, we've got to stay busy in the church. We got to stay connected with the family of God, because we can't grow alone. We need one another. We need the house of God. We need this church. We need the presence of the Lord. We need services where the Holy Ghost falls and His power moves and His glory is here in this place. Don't you leave the safety of the church. Don't you disconnect from the church. Don't disconnect from the vine, which is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. We can't grow alone. I just want to encourage someone tonight. I want to encourage you that you still have more room for growth. You still have more room to grow. I don't care how long we've been in the church. We have room to grow. We have room to grow. We have room to better ourselves. We have room for God to bring some more potential out of us. God is not finished with us yet. We all have a next step. Philippians 1 and 6 tells us, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I tell you, God didn't bring you this far to leave you. He didn't bring you this far to leave you. But if you're still here, if you're still kicking, if you're still breathing, then it's God's will for us to keep on growing. He's not finished with us yet. He still has a plan for our lives. And if we'll stay connected to Him, if we'll keep on reaching, amen, if we'll keep that hunger in our heart, that desire for more of Him, for better things, that desire for growth, then He's going to perform that work that He started in. Amen. I can look all across this crowd tonight. I want to tell you, if you're still here, if you're still breathing, then God's still got more for you. He still got more for you. And what He started in you, He's able to finish it. You just keep connected. You keep on coming to church. You keep on being faithful. You keep on trusting the Lord, because He's not finished with you yet. And He's going to finish what He started. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Colt, I want you to come help me say. I'll never forget. Come right up here. I'll never forget the day that we took this little baby. Well, he's not a little baby no more. He's not quite as tall as his dad yet, but he's close. But he was just this little thing at one time. Just this little thing. And I'll never forget taking him to the doctor, and they'd measure him. And you know how it is. They lay him out on this table, and they measure him, and they weigh him, and they look at all these various things, and the doctor's, you know, writing these little notes down, and then he had this iPad that he'd plot all these numbers in, and all these graphs would pop up, and all this information would be plotted on a chart, and you'd see the growth patterns, and it's really interesting. And on this particular day, the doctor had some concerns, because he wasn't growing enough. Obviously, he got that fixed somehow, but we had to change some things, because he wasn't getting enough of the right nutrition at that point. And Peter tells us that as newborn babies and as newborns in Christ, we should desire the sincere milk of the Word so that we can grow. Hallelujah. Thank you, buddy. Praise the Lord. If we're not growing, there's something wrong. If we're not growing, there's something wrong. Hey, if you look at the spiritual growth chart and the trajectory of things in our life is not advancing, there's something wrong. Healthy things grow. Healthy things grow. If we look at our life this year as compared to this time a year ago, even through COVID, if we look at our life right now as compared to 1 year ago and we haven't grown at all, there's something wrong. There's a problem somewhere. We're not getting enough of the word. We're disconnected from the vine somehow. We're missing the spiritual nutrition that we need. And as babies grow, there comes a time when eventually they're going to stop drinking milk and they're going to start eating solid food. If that transition never happens, there's something wrong. There's something concerning. There's something not going right. Hebrews 5:12 tells us, For the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Turn to someone and tell them, stop being a baby. I didn't say punch him, Daniel. Because there comes a time that we should be a teacher of others, helping others grow, showing others what they're here for, so that we can develop them and see them develop into what God has called them to be. But too many people get stuck. They get stuck. When they should be teaching, they still need someone to teach them. When they should be eating meat, they're still drinking from a bottle. Hey, if we've been coming to church for years and we still can't get basic holiness and separation from the world down, there's something wrong. We're not growing. If we can't learn to be faithful to church services, I want to tell you, there's something wrong. If we get our feelings hurt every time pastor preaches the word in love, we need to check our spiritual growth. If we haven't got our flesh in check enough so that we can't give of the increase that God has given us and blessed us with, we're still just drinking milk. If we aren't willing to get involved and to serve somewhere in the kingdom, if we think everything is about us and nothing is about others, I tell you, there's something wrong. There's something that's not right. At the time we're supposed to be teaching others, if we're still stuck needing a teacher ourselves, we're still drinking from a bottle when we should be eating meat. If we're not growing, something's wrong. I don't preach this to discourage anybody tonight, okay? I'm not wanting to discourage anyone. But I want to encourage you. It's God's will that we grow. And if we're not growing, we need to find out what's going on. We've got to get it fixed and quick. We've got to get fixed quick because there's work to do. There's people to reach. There's the kingdom of God to be busy in. Don't you let it hold you back any longer, but make up your mind, I'm going to grow. I'm going to grow. I'm going to go to the next level. I'm going to let the Lord work on me. Whatever he's got to do, I can't stay at this point any longer, but I've got to grow. I've got to stretch. I've got to start eating meat. I've got to put the bottle down. Sometimes you just got to put the bottle down and you got to stop crawling. You got to stand up and you got to start acting like a man or a woman and say, you know what? I'm going to grow. I'm leaving the childish things behind, and I'm ready to go to the next level. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, it's time to grow. Amen, amen. I tell you, the church, God's church, is meant to grow. It is the will of God for us to grow. Now, I do believe it is God's will that this church grow in numbers. And thank God he's doing that. But that's not what I'm talking about tonight. Read with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2. Paul said, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. Paul says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. I want to tell you, God gives the increase. Yes, we're going to do everything we can. We're going to plan, and we're going to plant, and we're going to water, and we're going to work. But God's got to give the increase. Amen. And if this church grows numerically, it's not to our credit. It's God that gave the increase. It's God that gave the increase. Jesus said in Matthew 16:18, and I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Who is it that builds the church? It's not me. It's not you. It's not any person. It's Jesus Christ. He's the chief cornerstone, and he's the one building his church. It's not my church. It's not your church. It's not our church. It's his church. Come on, sometimes we get that confused. We don't own the church. We didn't purchase it. He purchased it with his blood. It's his church, and he's the one that builds his church. Amen, amen. I just want to be a willing vessel that however he can use me, however he can work through me, however his spirit can move through my life, he can use me to build his church. And then I don't get the glory and you don't get the glory, but he gets all the glory because it's his church. Amen. Aren't you thankful to be a part of the church? Aren't you thankful to be a part of the kingdom of God? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So I do believe that it's God's will for this church to continue growing in numbers, but that's up to God. He builds his church. And except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. So what is our responsibility? Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry, he invested the majority of his time in helping others grow. You look at what he spent his time doing. He spent the majority of his time helping others grow. His method for church growth was growing people. And we've been called to make disciples, and it's the Great Commission. Matthew 28:19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Of course, we know that name is the name of Jesus. Amen. The New King James Version says it like this: go therefore and make disciples of all nations. We are called to make disciples. We're called to equip people. We're called to help people grow. God is going to take care of church growth. We're responsible for people growth. God takes care of church growth. We take care of people growth. Not only our own personal growth, but helping others grow. Hallelujah. Read with me in Ephesians 4:11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. That's the fivefold ministry that's given to the church by God. Now, why did God give this fivefold ministry to the church? Verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. If you read other translations of this verse, it's a little clearer. The fivefold ministry of the church is to equip the saints for the work of ministry. That's what apostles are to do. That's what prophets are to do. That's what evangelists are to do. That's what pastors and teachers are for. They are to equip the saints so that they can do the work of ministry. Why? To edify the church. To so that the body of Christ can be built up. That sounds a lot like church growth. Verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. We got to put the bottle down. By the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up. Sometimes you got to grow up. Sometimes you just got to look in the mirror and say, you know what, it's time you grow up. You've been a child long enough. You've just had a pity party long enough. Amen. It's time to grow up. Come on, grow up. May grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. We have a calling not only to grow ourselves, but to grow others, to build up others, to help others find their God-given purpose, and to get involved in the kingdom of God. I tell you, the church is meant to grow. If we're not growing, there's something wrong. If we're not helping others grow, then we're missing it. If we're not seeing progress, then there's something wrong. 2 Peter 3:18 says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We're meant to grow. Healthy things grow. Healthy things grow. Amen. Would you stand with me in closing tonight? Hallelujah. What's our mission statement? What's our purpose? Love God. Grow in faith. Serve others. Go change the world. The thing about spiritual growth is sometimes the Lord does something called pruning. Pruning. There's a certain time of the year that you're supposed to do pruning. And there are certain times you're not, and I don't know which one it is. I think for rose bushes, isn't it around Valentine's Day? I don't know. Anybody a rose bush expert? Anybody? Brother Eric, do you know? I don't know. There's a certain time that it's better to prune than it is in other times of the years. And that seems like on Valentine's Day, but I'm not sure. You can cut that bush way back. And it seems like, wow, it used to be this high and now it's so small. But you just give it a few months. And you give it a year and you come back and you look at that. It's healthier, it's stronger, it's produced new growth, all of the dead parts are gone, now it's alive, it's vibrant, it's healthy. Sometimes we go through seasons of pruning, and it's not fun, it's definitely not exciting, it's not somebody that something that we go sign up for and say, okay, I want to get my annual pruning. Sometimes churches go through pruning. All churches do. It's not fun. Not exciting. It's not something the pastor goes and prays about and says, oh, Lord, can you just give us a good pruning? No. You know what? He's the Lord of the harvest. He's the Lord of the harvest. And sometimes there's things about us. We don't see it. We can't understand it. We can't see it in ourselves, but the Lord sees it. And he says, you know what? There's something there I need to work on. There's something there that's not right. There's something right there that it's holding you back. So I'm going to allow whatever it is to come, and it's going to be a little painful. It's going to hurt. It's not going to be fun. You're going to wish you weren't in the season, but give it a little bit. If you keep faithful, if you keep connected to the vine, Come on. If you keep connected to the vine, you see, sometimes the enemy says, oh, that hurts, that's painful. Why don't you disconnect from the vine and go off somewhere and get bitter? Go off somewhere and get angry about your situation. Go off and get mad at somebody. That's what the enemy wants to put in our heart. But if we say, no, I'm going to stay connected to this vine. I'm going to stay connected to this vine. I'm not letting go. I'm not leaving the church. I'm not leaving the house of God. I'm not going to stop praying. I'm not going to stop living holy. I'm not going to stop being faithful, but I'm going to stay connected to the vine. Then you just give it a little time, and you let the Lord keep working. And before long, you won't even notice that there's been a pruning, because all of that will grow back and more. I feel it in the Holy Ghost right now. This church, you need to get ready. You need to get ready, because it's time for you to grow. 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 And God is building His church. And God is building His church. Come on, is there anybody, you'd be a willing vessel and say, Lord, work through me, God. Help me to grow. Help me to advance, Lord. Healthy things grow, and I want to be growing, Lord. Help me to grow spiritually. Help me to be on fire with the Holy Ghost. Help me, Lord, to move from this place that I'm at, to advance in the kingdom of God, to be used by you, I pray, in Jesus' name.